Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Sports and Religion with your host. Now you got me frazzled, man. I forgot. I lost my train of thought. Let me start over again. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports and Religion, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? You okay there?
I'm all right. That's my train of thought, waiting for this intro to come.
I'm good. How's it going?
I'm all right. This is obvious. This is easily the worst start in the show's history. but with that in mind, folks, you know the deal. We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. We're gonna lead off with a little baseball. Talk a little Mets baseball as the Mets suffer a brutal loss. We'll get into that momentarily. We'll talk about the Yankees, who suffered a similar fate, losing to the Indians earlier this afternoon. We'll also shift gears, talk a little preseason football with the Giants and the Jets. Talk about the NBA with, of course, the news of Kevin Love, you know, being agreed to being traded to the Cavaliers, and you know the latest on that, you know, trade proposal. And of course, you know, we're gonna talk a little sports entertainment and everything else. But of course, folks, you know, the number, it's 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to, you know, get what's off your, you know, what ideas you have in your, you know, you know, get whatever you want off your chest, and, you know, feel free to chime in if you'd like. So with that in mind, you know, let's talk a little baseball. And, you know, Mets have been playing, you know, better lately, especially against the Phillies all year. Mets have been dominating them. But unfortunately, you know, Mets had a 6-1 lead. Wheeler, you know, he was dealing for most of the game, you know, highlighted by Duda hitting his 21st home run. And Darnold hitting back-to-back, you know, earlier in the game. I think it was in the third or fourth inning that happened to, you know, put the lead up to 6-1. But the problem with the Mets is that they can tack on some runs, insurance runs, later into the game. And basically, you know, the Phillies, Dominique Brown, he hit a two-run single. Or was it a two-run double? I can't remember. He got a two-run hit, and basically, you know, he cut the lead to 6-3, you know, because up until that point, only Utley hit a solo home run to tie the game up at one, you know, before Mets climb up to that 6-1 lead. And unfortunately, to fast-forward into the ninth, Mejia didn't have it. You know, he didn't pitch yesterday. Familia got the save last night, and Mejia, he got the save on Friday night, but he, you know, he was dealing with some, he recently was dealing with some calf injuries, so basically they're being careful with, you know, making him pitch back-to-back, you know, games as of late.
Right.
But he clearly didn't have it. His last couple of outings, he's given up some runs, but thankfully, he didn't give up the tying run up until today. But unfortunately, he definitely did not have it today. Marlon Byrd, he had the RBI, the game-tying RBI hit, single, and then he stole second. And unfortunately, Ryan Howard, who was cold throughout the whole game, missing balls, like at least three or four balls that game, that would have been home runs.
Mm-hmm.
But he got the RBI hit, and in the bottom of the ninth, and Phillies, you know, came back in one of their best wins of the season, if not their best win of the season, because the Phillies, you know, they got old pretty fast this season, and they're in last place.
Yeah.
And now Mets are going to try to win 3 out of 4 after letting this game get away. They're going to play the Phillies one more time tomorrow afternoon. And
oh, it's a 4-game series? I thought it was just a 3-game.
No, it's 4. And after that, they're going to face the Cubs. So basically, Mets, they let a big opportunity slip through their fingers, and Wheeler would have tied improved his record to 500. He would have been 8-8, but now he's stuck at 7-8, you know, because of Mejia's blown loss, blown save, and basically Mets, you know, early in the game they you know, they put a 6-1 cushion, but later in the, you know, in the game, they were shut out. So basically, you know, that's what happened, basically.
Wow.
And it's a loss.
Well, tomorrow you can salvage this series by tying, well, actually by winning this series tomorrow.
Right.
Instead of having the Phillies tie it. So there's still an opportunity tomorrow.
Oh, and another thing about this series with the Mets, congratulations to Bartolo Colon. He got his 200th win of his career, becoming only the third person in Major League history to win your to win his 200th win, you know, at the age of 40 or plus.
Well,
you know, at least 40 years old. So congratulations to him. Tim Wakefield. I'm trying to think who was the other one. Was it Phil Niekro, I think, was the other one? Steve Carlton could have been the other one. I'm not sure. But in any case, you know, congratulations to Bartolo Colon, a guy you're very familiar with, you know, with his brief stint as a Yankee.
Yeah.
And, you know, congratulations to him. Hopefully he can, could, you know, continue pitching well for the Mets for the duration of the, you know, the season. And after in the off season, you know, he's going to make $11 million. So, you know, Mets have been trying to ship, you know, trade him away. But a guy who's going to be 42 years old, $11 million, that's going to be a very difficult contract to move.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we'll see what happens with that. And another news that broke today was that Jacob deGrom, he's going to miss his next start on Tuesday due to shoulder stiffness. So as of right now, they don't think it's serious. DeGrom said he could have pitched through it, but wisely, you know, he's going to sit it out, and hopefully his arm will become, you know, will return at 100%. But as of right now, they haven't announced who the starter is. It seems like it's going to be Carlos Torres, who's going to, you know, the long reliever, he's going to come and start the game. But that hasn't been confirmed yet. But if he does go on the DL, you know, expect Rafael Montero, who pitched two starts today, but he's 0-2. Or Noah Syndergaard, the Mets' top pitching prospect, might make his debut. But I don't think that's going to happen as of yet, if ever this season. But we'll see about that.
Yeah.
And with that, let's shift gears to the Yankees. As Yankees fell to the Indians by the score 4-1. I guess you'll give us the 4-1, you know, what happened with the Yankees this series.
Yeah, the Yankees, they had a chance to win the series today. Today was a rubber game. They won on Friday night 10-6. They beat up on the Indians, and that win included Carlos Beltran grand slam to cap off the night. And yesterday, we lose a game that we should have won, 3-0. Just couldn't put any runs together. Indian starter Corey Kluber, who's one of the best pitchers in the American League, he pretty much shut us out, couldn't get anything against him. We had Brandon McCarthy, who pitched well for us. He should have got the win, and he's been pitching well since we got him. But fortunately, like I said, we couldn't scrap any runs together. We ended up losing the game 3-0 yesterday. And today, same thing. You know, we couldn't put anything together, it looked like. And we're facing Carlos Carrasco, who's not really that good of a pitcher. And this guy has been struggling all year with the Indians, and I think he was even promoted to the bullpen. But Yankees couldn't do anything against him. Kuroda, he pitched well for the most part, but didn't give him any offense. And we ended up losing today 1-1, and Indians ended up winning this game and winning the series. And the Yankees, since the All-Star break, they've been 14-9. I mean, they've been doing pretty well, but right now they got to win series because, you know, we don't have that many games left. And our best chance right now is to win division because it doesn't look like we'll win the wild card. Angels will probably take that. So we have to win the division, and that includes winning every series from here on out. That's pretty much it.
You're absolutely right. You know, Mets and Yankees are in similar spots. You know, they're both you both got to try to win every series to basically try to, you know, to even get a, even have a slim chance of making the playoffs. I mean, Yankees have a better shot than the Mets do, but, you know, they both teams have to, you know, just try to win at least 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I mean, Yankees right now, the division is still close. I mean, the division right now, looking at the standings, let me see, Yankees are about 6 games back, and they have about, it looks like they have about 45 games left. So, I mean, they could still make up ground, you know. But, yeah, they got to win games to win a division. The Mets, like you said, they're also close. Well, Mets have a better shot at the wild card right now than the division, because right now they're, like, close to 9 games behind the Nationals in the Natural
League.
Right.
And they're, like, 6 or 7 games back in the wild card.
Yeah, so they got to catch ground. You know, they have to win every game for the Mets.
For real.
But yeah, so that's pretty much New York baseball right now.
Exactly. Definitely not a banner year.
Nope.
That's for sure. But with that, you know, let's shift gears, you know, as, you know, baseball season looks kind of pessimistic for both teams. Let's talk about football as football season's about to start, you know, preseason.
Football.
Now we're talking about the other football.
Yep.
Then we're gonna have an announcer go goal. But that was like a month or two ago. So we're talking about American football.
Oh yeah.
And let's start with the Giants. Giants are 2-0 in preseason. They won the the Hall of Fame game last week, you know, in honor of their former great Michael Strahan going into the Hall of Fame.
Right. Yep.
And now they followed that up with another victory.
Oh yeah, I didn't see all of the game, but I know it was a good game. Giants won 20-16, and a lot of players looking good so far. Jernigan, Rashad Jennings. Eli looks good, but you don't want to get too overly excited because it is still preseason. But Giants, they look good so far, you know.
Yep,
they look good so far, and 2-0 in preseason. They have 3 more games to go before season actually starts. But there are some plays right now on the roster that's looking really good.
And to sad news about the Giants. Wilson, you know, he had to retire recently. He announced his retirement, you know, after suffering a career ending, you know, neck injury. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, that injury had to end his career. You know, I think he had some nerve damage also that caused him to retire. Doctors pretty much told him, you know, he has something called spinal stenosis. And, you know, he has nerve damage in his neck that affects his whole body. So they recommend him not playing any more football. And he announced his retirement last week. But he says he got to live out his childhood dream of playing football. You know, he could say that he was drafted to the NFL and he got a chance to play with the Giants. And he'll probably still have some kind of position football, maybe as an assistant or a scout. So, I mean, he'll still be around football, but it's fortunate to not see him play anymore because he had a great rookie year, one of the greatest rookie years you'll ever see from any New York Giant. But on the negative side, he did fumble the ball a lot. That was an issue that he had, but, I mean, good luck to him, you know.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, you know. Best of luck with him in his, you know, his next phase of his career, you know. Sad to see a guy, you know, at the age of 23, you know, being forced to retire. But, you know, like you said, you know, like he was saying in his press conference and Instagram posts and various forms of expressing his, you know, his feelings about his short career. You know, he feels blessed that, you know, that he was able to live out his dreams.
Yeah.
And it highlighted by him, you know, doing those backflips every time he scored a touchdown.
Oh yeah, I love seeing those.
For every reason. Every time you see him backflip, that means the Giants scored a touchdown. So, was there not to like about that?
Yeah, and the guy, he had some great quickness, man. Great quickness. I thought he was going to be future Hall of Famer the way he played his first year. But it's unfortunate, you know, things like this happen.
Yeah. Football's a very tough sport. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad he's, you know, he's being optimistic about it because, you know, he could have easily felt bitter and say, woe was me, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just be a malcontent because, you know, his career is over. But, you know, I'm happy, you know, he's looking to move on and not trying to risk being paralyzed, trying to, you know, play,
exactly.
go against doctor's orders and make stuff even worse. So, you know, good luck to him.
Good luck.
And, with that, let's talk NBA. And before we talk about the Kevin Love situation, you know, congratulations to the NBA Basketball Hall of Fame inductees, you know, Alonzo Mourning
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the class. But, you know, a guy who's very, Mitch Richmond was one of them too.
Mitch Richmond, yep. Matt Clifton, who signed a contract, was the first African-American to sign an NBA contract.
Right.
And
Sweetwater Clifton.
Yep.
And, another Nick that we got to say congratulations to is John Andres, you know, the legendary Nick broadcaster. So, you know, congratulations. You know, he's finally going into the hall.
Oh, no, he didn't go in the hall. He was honorable for Kurt Gowdy Award for Best Announcer. Right.
Isn't it from the Hall of Fame?
Is he going to be in the Hall of Fame? Because I heard that they're going to give him an award, some kind of special award, but I don't think he's going in.
The Hall of Fame gave him an award? Why would they just give him an award and he's not going in?
Yeah, he's not going to go in, but they're going to give him a special award as a broadcaster on the same day.
Well, I mean, that's a nice gesture, but, I mean, I assume they were going into the Hall of Fame.
It sounded like he was, but he's just going to get that special award, which they give to the best broadcaster announcers every year, I guess.
But he's retired, though. He retired, what was it, like last year, 2 years ago?
I guess when he was doing it.
I guess it's a lifetime achievement award, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. It sounds like that.
Well, hopefully I'll put him in. He's coming. They might as well put him in. He's going to go there. He's going to go down over there. They might as well induct him. He needs to come back like a year or two or so. Just
right.
to get inducted. I mean, well, it's a great honor, though. You know, congratulations to him.
Good luck.
And well deserved.
Yeah, definitely.
But let's go into the Kevin Love before we talk a little WWE, a little TNA. Kevin Love, you know, the rumors is that basically it's a done deal. You know, Kevin Love will be traded to the Cavaliers, but that hasn't been officially finalized because Wiggins needs to wait a certain amount of days for him to be traded. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's, you know, it's in the works. It's most likely going to happen, but Wiggins is going to be eligible to be traded on the 23rd of this month, so that's when the trade is going to happen. Hopefully it goes through. Hopefully NBA doesn't block it because that'll create a trio of LeBron, Irving, and Love on the Cavaliers. And if Love does go, that's automatically going to be contenders to win the championship next year.
Oh yeah, that's why I hope it doesn't happen. As a Knicks fan, I hope this deal does not go down because that's
right.
even scarier than the Big Three. When James was in Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do not want this trade to go down. No way, man.
Yeah.
That is scary. You got LeBron James, you got Kyrie Irving, man, and then you got Kevin Love, that beast down low. man. That's scary.
It is. It is.
MSG might as well cancel the games. Forget about Friday Night Knicks. When you watch your Friday Night Knicks, they live simulcast the Cavalier games. I mean, come on, this is scary, man. I hope this deal does not go down.
Well, it looks like it's gonna happen sooner than later.
Yep, I guess that's what we're gonna have to do. We're just gonna have to try to roll up our sleeves and find a way to beat them, even though we could hardly beat the Cavaliers, even without LeBron James, and now he's back. Oh man, this is gonna be a memorable season.
Oh yeah,
the way you look at it. But yeah, let's shift gears to WWE. What was I gonna say? Alberto Del Rio, he got released because he apparently slapped a WWE employee after the employee said something offensive to him behind his back. And apparently TNA is interested in signing him and making him a TNA champion. But that's if TNA stays on the air, because they're trying to renegotiate a contract with Spike TV. That's basically the problem with TNA. It's like they care. They're obsessed. It's kind of like WCW. You know, towards the end of WCW, they were obsessed with former WWE champions, and they don't really, you know, they didn't really, especially later towards the end of the WCW run. I mean, they did a much better job back in, you know, during the, you know, the golden age of WCW. But towards that end, basically, you know, it was just, they just didn't do a good job of developing their homegrown guys. And basically, it's just former WWE guys, you know, being champions, basically.
Yeah.
And, if Alberto Del Rio goes to TNA, I mean, it's not going to do anything. I mean, they had Hulk Hogan, who's going to return tomorrow night on Raw to celebrate his 61st birthday, I believe it is.
Yeah, something like that.
We'll talk about that in a few seconds. But, they had Hulk Hogan. They had Ric Flair, Booker T. I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, you had legends like Mick Foley. But bottom line is that Their best days were gone. And they brought, TNA was hyping these guys up like they were going to do something we've never seen them do before.
I know, pretty much they're rehashing stuff that WCW did.
Exactly, except those guys are like 20 years older. You know, there's not much they could do. I mean, you could have those guys as announcers or GMs like they did with Sting, you know, when he was there. But, I mean, that's basically what's wrong with TNA. TNA, you know, they need to hype up their own guys, their homegrown guys. I mean, sure, AJ Styles, you know, won titles, Samoa Joe, but they're obsessed with hyping up the WWE guys more than their own guys, and that's why AJ Styles left, basically.
Yeah. But bringing Del Rio, I think it'll help them, but if they stay in business.
I mean, Del Rio's a very good wrestler, but I don't see him like, oh my goodness. CM Punk would definitely make them, like, people would catch people, you know, would draw people's attention.
Yeah.
But no matter who they draw, I mean, even if they got Hogan, they had Flair, they had all those great guys, and they still weren't able to, you know, remember when TNA was trying to, when they first got Hogan, like, what was that, a few years ago? They tried to challenge WWE, and they just fell flat on their face.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to challenge WWE anymore. That's done.
Yeah,
you know?
You can't. It's pretty much, I mean, WWE is
the most
popular wrestling product right now in the world, so.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you put a better talent, better matches on the thing. WWE is a brand that cannot be surpassed by anybody.
Yeah.
Those days are gone. I mean, But with that in mind, Hulk Hogan, he's going to celebrate his birthday bash, and there's going to be a lot of special guests. And Scott Hall hinted that basically there's going to be an NWO reunion. So this would be the first time that the NWO members, you know, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Hulk Hogan would be in the ring for the first time since their WWE invasion in 2002.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, definitely be interesting to see. And it'd be interesting to see if Sting will make his appearance, but I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming Sting would want to make his appearance, you know, after Undertaker returns, makes an appearance, and then, you know, reveal that he's coming. But I don't
know.
That
would be great if he could make it tomorrow night.
Yeah, it would be sweet. But that would steal the thunder from Hulk Hogan's birthday. But then again, it would make it memorable.
Who cares about Hulk Hogan nowadays, anyway?
But it should be interesting to see who shows up. I mean, I'm guessing Flair would show up.
Yeah.
I would assume X-Pac, too. Well, Big Show's back, so he could be there, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think, probably Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, basically, the usual guys you see. You know, basically. I don't think Scott Hall's been in the WWE ring. I mean, did he show up in the WWE ring? I mean...
No, he was at the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame, I know. I'm trying to think, did he show up the day after that?
Oh, yeah, he was at the WrestleMania when they brought everyone out.
No, I know that, but I'm trying to think, was he on Raw?
Oh, on Raw, oh.
I don't think so.
Nah, I don't think so.
Because that was the day when Ultimate Warrior came back. Well, came back for
yeah.
his last appearance.
Right.
Before he died, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So Scott Hall hasn't been in a WWE ring probably since 2002.
Yeah, been a while.
During the aforementioned NWO invasion. When they were battling The Rock and Stone Cold. But, yeah, I guess we'll find out what happens.
Yeah, and by the way, last night, it looks like NASCAR star Tony Stewart was involved in a tragedy. A 20-year-old race driver, Kevin Ward, he was killed after Tony Stewart's car ran him over. It looks like... Tony Stewart's car and Kevin Ward's car, they bumped into each other and caused a collision, and that caused Kevin Ward's car to go off the track, and Kevin Ward got mad and he stepped onto the track while the cars were racing. And Tony Stewart's car ended up running him over, and he ended up flying in the air, and Kevin Ward ended up dying from that incident. And some people are saying if Tony Stewart did it on purpose or it was an accident. Right now, they don't know, but my condolences go out to that young driver. It's messed up.
Yeah, my condolences as well, too. I mean, I'm pretty sure he didn't do it on purpose. I mean, there would be no positives of that happening. Plus, it's televised, too, so, I mean, it's not like he could have denied it. I mean, I don't see any, you know...
Well, some people think Tony Stewart did do it on purpose because the guy Kevin Ward stepped onto the track while the cars are racing. He got out of his car and stepped onto the track, and they think Tony hit him to get it, you know, to get him off the track.
That would be crazy. I doubt that that's what happened. But then again, I mean, I'm not there. But
I saw the video. I can't tell whether it was if it's an accident or if it was on purpose. I know, but they're saying Stewart was also involved in an incident last July where he calls two drivers to go to hospital with injuries. So I don't know. It's being investigated, so we'll see what happens.
Well, my condolences go out to that late driver.
Oh yeah,
his family.
And my condolences. I mean, but, you know, he shouldn't have he shouldn't have been on the track like that. I mean,
well, I agree with that.
Wait until the race was over, you know.
Yeah, I guess he, you know, when you're heated and you don't think clearly, you know, you make mistakes, and unfortunately, it cost him his life.
Yeah.
Really tragic story.
Yes.
You have anything you'd like to say?
Check out my show on Mac Saturdays at 11, and check out Sports Over Legend every Sundays here at 6.
You heard the guy. You know, check out the shows next week. And again, our condolences go out to the driver. With that, you know, we'll see you guys next week. You know, I'm William Ramon, that's McCauley Matthew, and I'll see you guys next week.